Right, I want us to play out a scenario that highlights customer care.
Okay.
That all of you have to deal with people.
All the time.
It's always possible to improve your people skills.
Yeah.
Right, in this scenario, we'll start with something nice and easy. I'm going to play, and this will be the wrong way to do it, I'm going to play a very bad hotel manager who just doesn't care.
So, and if it's a Basil Fawlty type character, then with that, maybe I should do it just for the comedy.
Yeah, well, let me just play, just to kick things off, okay?
I'll probably bring so much to this role anyway, so...
Right. Okay, you've got a complaint. Come and complain, and I'll show you the wrong way to handle it. This will be the wrong way.
Okay.
Right, so off we go.
Sorry, what's the complaint?
Just make it up.
Anything. Because there's no right or wrong thing in this scenario. Then we tell you the right thing afterwards, so okay. We might as well...
You've got a complaint.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I'd like to make a complaint, please.
Don't care.
Well, I am staying in the hotel.
I don't care, so it's not my shift.
Well, you're an ambassador for the hotel.
I don't care.
I think you'll care when I tell you what the complaint
is.
I think there's been a rape up there. I got his attention. Get their attention. Okay?
Right, so, well, some interesting points.
Very interesting points.
Flagged up there. It's not quite the point I was trying to make.
Different points to be made.
I'm more interested really in customer care.
So am I.
And the way that we would deal with somebody.
Maybe I should play the hotel manager because I'm used to that. I phased you. But you have a go. See if you can phase me, okay?
Okay.
Hello,
I wish to make a complaint.
Not interested.
My room is an absolute disgrace.
Don't care.
The bathroom doesn't appear to have been cleaned.
What room are you in?
362.
There is no 362 in this hotel. Sometimes the complaints will be false.
Pre-recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A. It's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
Morning, Miss Blankenship. How was your surgery?
It was a nightmare. The ether and the blindness, and then I got the goggles.
So everything's good?
Tell you, I was blind, and now I see.
Good. You need more time.
I'm fine, Roger. I'm kidding around here.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
F you, Tropical Storm Nicole.
Oh, dear.
And F you to my mafioso house builders.
Oh, dear.
Holy crap on a stick. Hey, before we get to that.
Up to your knees in water?
Yeah, it's like the swamp on one of those rainy episodes of MASH. You know, where they just had like tin pots and pans sitting around collecting all the water.
Oh, no.
Get to that in a second. It's the Bob and Elvis Show. Bob Seska here. That's me in Pennsylvania. Elvis Dingledean there in Nebraska. Today's show brought to you by Bubble Genius and Pomegranate Journeys. This tropical storm is sweeping up the East Coast. I mean, literally, if you look at the radar map on MSNBC that they keep showing, that big yellow and red area that just looks like a stream of urine running up from Washington through Pennsylvania, that's right over my house right now. And if you recall from the early days of the show, the earliest of the early days of the show, I had described the fact that there was a leak in the front of the house where the garage meets the sort of the fake stone facade of the house. The water would leak, run down the roof, and then right into and behind the stone, and then into the wall inside the house. So I spent a good part of the spring risking life and limb up on the roof trying to repair that and rerouting gutters and putting silicon goo in all the seams and everything. And I think I have that squared away, but now, thank you very much, Tropical Storm Nicole, it's coming down through the skylight in the living room.
Oh, no.
So I looked up, and there's like this stream of water, you know, sloping down. It's like this vaulted ceiling with a skylight there. And so the water's coming through the skylight down and then like flowing down the ceiling and then hitting the wall. So it's only if this thing continues as it's supposed to for the next 24 plus hours, it's just going to be a deluge. And what the hell can anyone do anyway? You can't call like roofing repairs in the middle of a tropical storm. They're not going to climb up there and try to spackle it or whatever the hell they do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course, I blame my mafioso builders. The builders that made this neighborhood, that constructed this neighborhood and all the cookie cutter houses here are very mobbed up. I'm not going to say what it is because then they'll kill me, but
yes, they will.
It's totally mafia. And awesome. So therefore complaining is utterly useless. Mm-hmm. It's like going to Tony Soprano. It's like going to Don Corleone and saying, "Hey, you son of a bitch, you screwed me. My house is leaking like a sieve."
Yeah.
Right. And suddenly I'm sleeping with the fishes.
Yes.
Right.
People that built my the Farm of Doom are long since in their graves, so I have no recourse to for bitchery.
They're gonna find me washed up. Maybe like in the back of a dumpster. It'll be like the end of Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Yeah.
That sort of that Eric Clapton montage where like there's a guy in the back of the trash truck.
It's Paulie. Frenchie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frenchie was in the back of the...
That's right. How dare I complain about my leaky roof, you know?
Yeah. No, when poor Frenchie ended up in a dumpster.
Right.
Frenchie was a good guy, too. He was the one that figured it all out.
Yeah. Oh, the nitwits in that movie. I could talk about that movie for hours. Anyway.
I love that movie.
By the way, as you're noticing here, there is no guest today, as I promoted last week.
Oh, right. Shannon was supposed to come on.
Yeah, I'm like all like technology. I'm all thumbs with the technology this week. I don't know. I'm having trouble figuring out basic basic components of, you know, average everyday technology. Telephones, computers, Skype.
Plus, it's like 4 in the morning out there. So
that's right.
She needs her sleep.
That's right. It is. It's Alaska, for God's sake. And so, you know, it takes a little bit of, I've got to get on my Gilligan bamboo bicycle and start racing it to get the uplink to connect to Alaska. But so no Shannon Moore today.
Well, hopefully she can join us soon to talk about the clusterfuck out there in Alaska.
Yeah. Well, I think on a subconscious level, I'm deliberately sabotaging it on some like inner level so as to avoid being like verbally smacked.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, and then
with
Google,
my mother.
Right. And then Google Chrome, for God's sake. I was, about an hour before the show, I type up kind of just a list of just bullet points of crap that we're going to talk about on the show.
Yeah.
And I had to do it twice today because Google Chrome, asshats, these guys, what happens is sometimes if there's an error in Google Chrome, it won't just have a pop-up window and say something went wrong, you know, and it won't even shut down. What it does is it obliterates whatever you're working on and replaces it with a whole separate page. It's like a blue screen. It's like a blue screen of death with a frowny face, like, file folder in the middle. And then adding insult to injury, it says, "Aw, snap."
Yeah.
Right?
That's no good.
"Aw, snap, something has gone wrong." And
it's,
I just, you know,
terribly hipster doofusy.
Right. And they just need to add this. Because what it does is if I'm writing an email and I'm still like way back in the dark ages, I'm still using Hotmail. And I'm composing my emails right there on the Hotmail inbox page, right? And so what it does is it obliterates everything I've typed up.
Yeah.
And that's how I type up the show agendas for the show is right there in sort of the form of a Hotmail email.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. It's stupid. I'm inviting fail is what I'm doing.
Yes, you are. Well, the thing about Google Chrome, if you crash it, if you break it, then because it's Google, then it creates a searchable file out there that says, at this time, Bob Seska fucked up Google, and then people can go search on that because Google is taking over the world.
That's right.
They own all the information, so...
Well, and here's what I was really disappointed about. I finally got an iPhone this week, which is a pain in the ass. And I'm jumping ahead, but with regards to Google, there is no like Google Chrome app for the iPhone, and I've got all of my bookmarks set up and synchronized in Google Chrome, and yet they're entirely useless on the iPhone.
Really?
I mean, what does it take? You know, it's such an obvious thing. I mean, there's Google Maps, there's Google, there's apps for both of those things on the iPhone. Why can't we have at least like a bookmark sync for Google Chrome in the iPhone.
What browser is there on the iPhone?
I think it's Safari.
Is there a Google Chrome to Safari export?
No, you know what? My brother, who is an iPhone fanatic, he and I were on the phone for maybe 2 hours, like trying to figure out some Pythagorean, arithmetic to get from a Google Chrome bookmark to a Safari bookmark. It involved like exporting out of Google Chrome into Internet Explorer and bringing up those bookmarks and then synchronize. And it was just like this whole circuitous thing that required 90 different steps to just have my bookmarks right there. And then I figured, you know what?
And it didn't work at the end?
Well, no, I didn't even try it because it was so complex. It was just making my head hurt.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's why I still use my Maxwell Smart shoe phone.
Right.
Well, I mean, no, actually, I'm on a BlackBerry and I'm itching for this contract to run out so I can get myself a Droid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like six of one, half dozen of other in terms of consumer nightmare, that I dealt with Sunday and then again on Tuesday. First, it's Sunday. I went to the AT&T store. I was like, well, okay. I always go. This is where I buy all of my phones. I go to the mall, which I hate. And I go into the mall. I go to the AT&T store. And there it is, the iPhone 3GS. That's the one I want, the 8 GB one. I don't need a lot of storage. I've got a huge iPod that, I've got 45 days of music on my iPod. And it's only taken up about 20% of that iPod. So I've got I've got a ton of stuff. I don't need a lot of storage on the iPhone. So I want that one. The guy comes up. I said, give me that. And we go over to the counter, and he says, okay, well, I'm going to need a driver's license and a major credit card. Well, I said, I don't want to pay with a major credit card. I don't use a credit card. I have one. I'm not going to use it. Can you take this debit card? He said, no, I need a major credit card because we have to order this.
Yeah.
I'm like, what, son of a bitch? Order it? What? It's right here. This is the AT&T. You sell phones, and the iPhone is the most popular phone in the world. You don't have it? And he said, no. I said, ugh. And so I'm thinking, I have one credit card. It's got a very low credit limit on it. And I just don't like to throw a bunch of stuff on there. I don't like to festoon it with all kinds of bullshit. I need to reserve it for an emergency. So I said, oh, fine. All right. It's $100. I think I can bite the bullet and take it. So I hand him the credit card. And he's typing away. And then I said, well, I ask him about the data plan. And he starts telling me about the data plans. And he goes, oh, wait, whoops. You know what? It's going to be longer than 7 days. It's going to be 14 to 20 days before we get it because it's on back order.
Mm.
Oh, God. Are you kidding? Oh, again. So,
walk right next door to the Apple store and get one, couldn't you? You have an Apple store?
Oh, well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I do not live anywhere near an Apple store.
Really?
Yeah.
Even I've got an Apple store, for Christ's sake.
Well, there is one down at King of Prussia Mall, which is closer to Philadelphia, and I'm way up here in... Pennsylvania Dutch country. And, so what I did is I said, well, you know what? Forget it. I'm not interested. Give me my cards back. And I went stomping out of there. I was like, I was so pissed off. And then, so I just drive down and it's this big mall area where there's, every conceivable store except an Apple store. And so I decided to go down to Best Buy and I checked in Best Buy. No iPhone there either. So I went home, looked it up. But I'm just going to bite the bullet, drive to the Apple store and get it. And then, of course, the Apple store involves going, engaging with the hipsters.
Yeah. I refuse to set foot in an Apple store.
Yeah.
I will look through the large windows and oogle, but I will not set foot in there.
Well, I felt like I had to, in order to go in there, I felt like I had to bring like a six-pack of PBR and grow like a big bushy beard just as tribute, to fit in. Yeah, they won't let me pass unless I give them an ironic PBR six pack.
Right. This story doesn't end with you going all Michael Douglas and falling down. On This American Life, either last weekend or the weekend before, I was cleaning the garage and listening to This American Life, and this guy had a bad Apple Store experience.
Oh, no.
Where he went in and needed something, and they said, do you have an appointment? And he said no, and he sat for like 2 hours, and he had a snarky hipster doofus there, gave him a little attitude. So he went home, and on his Facebook page, he wrote, he quoted something from Fight Club. where Edward Norton's like, you ever have one of those days where you're gonna, you know, where you don't want to mess with me, I'll come back with an AK-47 and hose everybody down. He quoted that in relation to the Apple store, and the fucking Homeland Security kicked his door in.
What?
Yeah, with armed goons, in black flak jackets and MP5s. Not even kidding. And took his ass to the Hoosegow. And he went through this whole booking and whatnot. Like, they just got up his ass.
Well, for what it's worth, I have no intention whatsoever. I don't even own a gun, much less several guns.
I don't even a gun. That's my favorite line in that old movie. Much Wayne's less World. Many guns that would necessitate a gun rack.
Yeah, an entire gun rack, right?
I don't even own a gun.
I don't own a gun.
I had to get mine out last night because the coyotes were roaming. Coyotes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, coyotes.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Drives my dog batshit because she can hear them from 100 miles away before I can. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you figure it's a skunk or something out there digging in the yard, and then you hear this, ow, ow, ow. I mean, it sounds like the classic Lon Chaney werewolf. Yeah. Sound, and it'll give you the creeps. And baby coyotes sound like little people talking. I don't know if you've ever heard a baby coyote make noise, but it sounds like a 3-year-old mumbling. It's the most disturbing sound I've ever heard in my life.
Is it like it's like that seal that screams like a man that I
think that's fake.
Oh, that's no, that's absolutely. There are several videos on YouTube with that seal screaming like a man.
I don't buy that seal. I think it's fake. But it was funny. I'm a skeptic.
Steps onto that shallow part and just goes, ah! It's so hilarious. Like Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. It's, ah! Yeah. Anyway, speaking of hipsters, I'm going to rant here because I'm totally effing sick and tired of the progressive left just constantly whining. All right, you know, it was okay. All right, good. We get it. You're not happy with the president, and you're not happy with some of the things the president and the vice president have said lately. Get over it.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, this is predominantly whining about the president is what the progressive left has essentially accomplished. Mm-hmm. And me being a member of the progressive left, that's saying a lot. I mean, this is what we have become known for since the inauguration. Mm-hmm. Nonstop whining. Enough already. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Seriously.
Progressive means progress. Yeah. You know, progress is gradual and painful.
Right.
So, Jane Hampshire.
Right. I mean, every time I've got MSNBC on all the time. I'm downstairs. It's on up in my living room. And, I go up there to grab a cup of coffee or to grab some lunch or whatever. And I walk by and invariably there's Jane Hampshire on in the daytime on MSNBC. Whining, whining, whining. Oh, wah, wah, wah. Hippie punching. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Would you just please accept the fact that there are certain political realities in this country? Things work and function a certain way, where there has got to be, as much as we don't like it sometimes, there's got to be compromise in order to get anything done. There's got to be pragmatism. Change is gradual. It does not happen overnight, and you will not get everything you want. Sorry.
All at once.
Yeah.
You won't get everything you want all at once.
Exactly.
It's gradual.
I mean, think you can run a primary against Blanche Lincoln and then suddenly the entire Democratic Party establishment is going to a failed primary. Mm-hmm. I guess, and suddenly the whole Democratic establishment is going to drop to their knees and kiss your ass. It just doesn't work. And if you think bitching about the president constantly, no matter what it is, just constant hectoring and whining about how you all poor you. He's not exactly what you want. Oh my God, I'm sorry. A poor thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know
where are they? What are they going? Who are they going to vote for? Where are they going to go? They're just going to stay home.
I don't know.
The progressives, the mouthy progressives, are the most politically active, and the typically the smartest politically, or at least the most wonky of the, you know, of an established political base, and yet they just don't seem to get it. That, you know, the realities on the ground, the pragmatism. I fuck them. Yeah. They should all shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, if Obama has to build a new coalition to get it done, he will. I mean, that's just the way he rolls. This is not a president and a team that doesn't know how to build, you know, to find voters,
yeah,
to go get them, you know? So I'm just not sweating it. Fuck them. Fuck the Tea Partiers. It's go time now. And they're starting to come out, you know, they're starting to commit some politics now. And it's just going to be, I can't wait. I cannot wait for 2012.
Yeah.
It's just going to be the best. Either one way or the other. I mean, it's just going to be fascinating to watch. I just have a giant boner for 2012 because it's just going to be the best.
Well, I mean, just a year from now, exactly, yeah, 1 year from now, we are going to be knee deep in it, knee deep in the Republican primary campaign and all those debates and just, I mean,
what debates? Yeah, debates. Like there's going to be debates. It's going to be the first campaign runoff of fucking Facebook and Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and,
that's true.
You know. If you want to see anything done, you go to Fox News and you know, listen to their basically hour-long campaign commercials.
Yeah.
Just they are setting themselves up for the biggest ass-fucking they've ever gotten as a party for this Tea Party nonsense and these candidates that cannot – you know, Maddow was fascinating last night with the, you know, call them out on this shit,
yeah,
thing. She's absolutely right. You corner them, put up ads and corner these people and force them to defend these insane records of theirs, these, yeah, insane sound bites. It's going to be a horse and pony show of the, right, most spectacular nature. I cannot wait.
If Harry Reid loses to Sharon Engel, we're gonna take a break and get into this after this commercial set, because oh my God, Sharon Engel. If Harry Reid loses to Sharon Engel, he does not deserve to win.
Well, if there are enough women voters in Nevada to put Sharon Engel in office, then fuck Nevada. Nevada should go straight to hell.
Right.
And it deserves to. I mean, Vegas, fuck that state, yep, in its ear. If they, you know, there should be enough, there should be a plurality of women that see Sharon Engel for the festering boil on the ass of humanity that, yeah, she is, that she could not possibly get elected.
Hey, today's show brought to you by Bubble Genius, pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius at bubblegenius.com or on Etsy at bubblegenius.etsy.com. They're giving away free soap again. Don't forget, on Election Day, make sure to grab your I Voted sticker after you vote. Take a picture of yourself with the I Voted sticker. Get a free soap from Bubble Genius. Plus, they'll give you a code for a huge discount, which will be good for the first 2 weeks of November. And speaking of Wingnuts, new commercial from the Bubble Genius people featuring our favorite Alaskan. That'd be Shannon Moore. No, Sarah Palin.
Oh, no.
And I've only listened to part of it so far, just in my race to catch all the water seeking through my roof. So I don't know if it's Sarah Palin talking to any Nards, but, you know.
That would be awesome.
Dare to dream. Here we go. Bubble Genius.
I have a bone to pick with Bubble Genius. They're making voodoo dolls of me, Sarah Palin, stuffed with elephant poo paper. You real Americans, don't retreat. Reload. Don't settle for a doll. Stick pins in the real thing. Now my advisor said, "Oh, Sarah, I don't think you mean that." So I fired him on the spot for infringing on my First Amendment rights.
Bubble Genius, bath and body stuff that's good for your body and your funny bone. Try our apple pie scented vote soap or Eau de Wonk perfume.
Those Bubble Geniuses sound like commie pinko socialists to me. I mean, vegan soap? I wash with reindeer fat like a true American.
Bubble Genius for Election Day. Check out our promotion on Facebook to get a free soap for voting.
I refudiate your statement, you cackle of rads. The lamestream media is in the pocket of big soap.
Bubble Genius for Election Day and every day. But especially for Election Day.
So, how's that soapy, sudsy thing working out for you?
www.bubblegenius.com.
Oh, yes.
Make sure to... Not bad, girls.
That was outstanding. Oh, my God. Great. Just fantastic. That was one of the better Sarah Palin voices I've heard. That's great. Make sure to enter your promo code Bob and Elvis, B-O-B-A-N-D-E-L-V-I-S. Get 15% off your entire order. That's Pure Products, Pure Genius at bubblegenius.com. And Pomegranate Journey is also sponsored today, sponsored the show. Pomegranate combines several of my most favorite things in the whole world, which would be food, wine, and bicycling in Europe. Not just another schleppy tour through France and Italy. And you can't really see the countryside from a car or bus. Cycling helps you feel the land. You can design your own custom trip, customize the dates, location, activities, difficulty levels, as well as the budget, and the organizer travels for free. A group with specific interest in wine wants to organize a custom trip with casual riding and lots of drunken wine tours and tastings. Perhaps some cooking lessons in Tuscany, no problem. Pomegranate Journeys at pomegranate.travel, and new commercial from Pomegranate as well, featuring Virgilio Bonaventura. You'll notice the Italian versions of our names in this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Roberto y Alfonso. Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's the new Pomegranate Journeys commercial.
Oh, buongiorno, America. Thank you for listening to the Roberto e Alfonso show.
There you go.
Roberto e Alfonso, they be very good to me. Let me come on the show and talk about the Pomegranate Journeys. The two boys are very smart, very funny boys. They make sure you know who all of the crazy people are, eh? My name is Virgilio Bonaventura. I want to speak a bit about my friends, Pomegranate Journeys, who come and visit me when they're on a tour. I'm here in Italia attending to my garden, and the tomatoes are looking bravissimo. My tomatoes are the best in all of Toscana. This one in my hand is as big as my neighbor Giacomo's head. He's so jealous, eh? You should see his garden. He couldn't grow a beard. Anyway, if you want a real Italian experience, you come to Italy with the Pomegranate. You ride the bicycle through the beautiful countryside, make your appetite nice and big because we love to eat. And the food here is the best in the world. Then we drink some vino and laugh and celebrate la bella vita. That's the good life. My friends, you want to experience the real Italia, you come with Pomegranate Journeys. You bike and you hike, you eat and drink, you laugh and you live. Let me get this right. The address is www.pomegranate.travel.
Great.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Uh-huh, indeed.
That was a great commercial.
Yeah.
www.pomegranate.travel.
If Sharon Angle actually wins, if Christine O'Donnell actually wins, there's something really screwy going on. Because, I mean, like last night I was watching Hardball, I believe it was, and they were talking about the fact that Sharon Angle was actually discussing how she wanted to privatize the VA.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a winning issue right there. Boy, my God. Yeah, tell the veterans.
With her veteran father. I mean, she's so up her ass. She's talking about her veteran father, whose medications are like $800 a month, and she's talking about and even the interviewer, he's like, just incredulous. He's like, really? And she's like, oh, well, if you're going to privatize, yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? Privatizing the VA.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Out of her mind. The Democrats need to cut the most vicious commercials against that kind of nonsense and run them 24/7.
Right. So, I mean, I think ultimately the point here is that, you know, there's so much that we could be doing as the you know, as the sort of big tent kind of progressive movement with regards to just stemming the avalanche of these idiots flooding into Congress. And, I mean, mind you, I mean, the Republicans are going to win back the House.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. And then everything's going to grind to a halt. I mean, we've been through all of the various gamed out scenarios, what happens when the Republicans get the House back. But, you know, and what are we doing? What are we doing? We're acting like a bunch of babies, you know?
Arguing
just whining
ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The president. Oh, he insulted us again. Shut up already. Okay. Yeah, it's one thing to spend a little bit of time holding the president accountable and saying, you know, enough of this. Yeah, that was wrong. You shouldn't have said that. And here's what we got to do. But it's just ongoing. It's just whining. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. I mean, no wonder. You want the White House to take you seriously. You want Washington to take you seriously. Stop whining. It's probably the most visible thing. I mean, it's easily the most visible thing. And it's a protracted hissy fit.
Yeah.
We should be ashamed of ourselves. We're the reality-based people. We look at objective reality. Yeah. But it's remarkable that it's nowhere to be found. Yeah. Nowhere to be found.
Yep. It's, I don't think... The Sharon Angle hair, I haven't seen the recent polling, but the last one I saw, it looked like Reid was pulling ahead a little bit. Yeah. I think the closer they get to the actual election, reality will kick in. And I hope there's some sense, at least in O'Donnell's case, that there's some sense in the voting population that these people just aren't serious about politics. You know, they're just not serious politicians.
Yeah.
They're just self-aggrandizing, airbags.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think O'Donnell's definitely not going to win.
No.
If Angle does, then there's just some, like I said, there's a real problem in Nevada.
Yeah.
If women would go out and vote for that.
Well, yeah.
I just don't get it.
And just going back to my central thesis here, which is the progressives and all the whining. Once again, I mean, we're just getting out-hustled at every turn.
Yeah.
Last August, out-hustled over healthcare. I mean, there was no reason why the teabaggers should have been occupying every news cycle for four consecutive weeks with all the screeching at the town halls. And we're just, what are we doing? Oh, Rahm Emanuel doesn't want a public option. Oh. Rahm Emanuel hates it. I mean, it was totally beaten. And then it happens again and again and again. This past August, same thing. And so there's this tidal wave happening. And it's not, I mean, the progressives aren't to blame for the tidal wave specifically, but there's more that we could be doing to stop it, and we're not.
Yeah. Well, we just don't have any message unity. Democrats never do. Yeah. It's easy for the Tea Partiers to own the narrative when they can make shit up, repeat it, have it cited enough that it becomes news, that the media point a camera at it, and meanwhile we're arguing amongst ourselves with no message discipline. It's just always been our problem. We've never been a unified party, with a single good, snappy, soundbitey message.
Yeah.
They get out there in those town halls and they make loud noises and they own the narrative, because their narrative is easy to point a camera at. And meanwhile, we're, three of us over there, four of us over there arguing amongst ourselves. That's not very interesting television.
No. Well, look, 4 years ago in the 2006 election, I mean, we did something, and it didn't require some sort of leader in a high post inspiring us to move. We weren't looking to, like, a President Obama to say, well, give us a reason to support the Democrats.
Yeah.
We did it on our own. We motivated ourselves and we kicked ass in 2006. Okay. Why the hell do we suddenly need? That's such a cop-out statement. Like, well, give us a reason to be enthusiastic and we'll get enthusiastic. No, effers. You get enthusiastic because it's the right thing to do. Because we don't want Republicans controlling Congress. We don't want the government to be shut down.
Yeah.
That's enthusiastic.
I mean, there is an argument to be made for, that it's such a flip of the coin from where we were in 2008 with it not... getting out the vote to not have something happen instead of the opposite, like we're voting for something instead of against something.
Well, how about we get out the vote? How about we mobilize around getting Democrats elected? How about that? I mean, that seems to make a lot of sense. Like, let's have some Democrats elected instead. What we have is where we're out hustled by a bunch of contradictory, screeching wackaloons who literally have no business being even part of the discourse, because they make no sense.
Yeah.
Because there's no sensibility. There's no seriousness about them. Even their leader, Sarah Palin, is completely unserious. And so we can win these debates. We can get, it should be the exact opposite of what we're seeing now. There should be more Democrats being elected and not fewer or more Republicans.
Well, but you said it, though. You said we can win these debates. And I would refer you back to David Brent from that that clip you played in the opening.
Exactly.
There's no arguing with David Brent. You know, in that clip, he changed the narrative. There is no room 302 or whatever it was. That's their reality. You know, there is no. I don't know what debate are you going to win with who? I mean, you're not going to change any of these minds. There's not a single Tea Partier that's going to come to support their candidate that's going to listen to a rational, two-sided debate and come away going, wow, that Democrat sure made a lot of sense. It's just all ideology and no, you know, thought process.
Yeah.
It's just ideology to the point where they can, with a straight face, these people can produce this pledge to America that is unilaterally across the board derided by every serious everybody. And yet they can and Boehner's out there tweeting about it constantly and acting like it's some sort of serious path for, you know, for the country.
That is
anybody that looks at that and points at that and goes, hey, look, we're doing something, is the equivalent of David Brent saying there is no, you know, room 332 in this hotel. It's just a complete abject denial of reality.
That's right. And thank you for bringing it full circle.
I did. I'm the master of the comeback.
Here's a rump roast. Rumproast.com put together a 7-question quiz to determine how much of a progressive you really are. You want to take the quiz?
Not really.
No. Well, good. Asshole. I was just running through a couple of questions. How do you feel when you think of the upcoming elections? A, what? Didn't we just do this? B, a little nervous? Or C, really excited? I can't wait to see the look on Obama's face when Republicans take over and impeach him.
Yeah, this is a progressive quiz.
Yeah. Do you know what the term hippie punching means? A, LOL, is that like donkey punching? B, sigh, yes. Or B, yes. Or C, clearly you have just read my 32,000 word, 5-part essay, The Puncho Cost, The Life in Very, Very, Very Hard Times of a True Progressive Among the Obots. Guess you've got better things to do while the world goes to shit, huh? What role should progressive blogs play in politics? A, fart. B, they make a good place for people of similar political beliefs to quickly share information and ideas. Or C, look, I'm a plain-spoken person, and I have to say, what an incredibly stupid question. Progressive blogs, especially my blog, control the debate and the votes. If I'm not happy, a lot of dino polls are going to be unemployed. The Republicans will be back in power, and everyone will come crying to me.
Yeah, that's good about stuff. Right.
Yeah. In your opinion...
Speaking of quizzes, though,
yeah,
very pleased to see this recent thing about how atheists and agnostics are kicking the shit out of religious people on these on that Pew religion questionnaire. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's
very happy with that.
Well, I mean, I think it illustrates the dividing line between sort of faith and kind of knowledge at the same time.
Ideology. Yeah, ideology versus reality based existence. You know, I got 100% on that thing, and I could have done it with, you know, half my brain tied behind my back, and every question I was like, oh yeah, I can totally see how somebody in the, you know, a Christianist would not know this, would not care to know this, and was probably answered it wrong, proud, like they're proud to not know that.
Yeah,
I don't need to know what Ramadan is, fuck them. You know, it's right, like, it's just proud to be stupid.
I gotta tell you though, I'm getting kind of tired of the framing of the religious debate. It's kind of, and see, I'm going to make a lot of friends with today's show. Maybe we'll just have to make this the secret show. It's kind of irritating because I think the crux of the debate. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a believer. You're not a believer. We don't really buy into that stuff, But I think the way we're arguing it, and I'm not saying we meaning you and I. I'm talking about in general. I think it makes more sense to me that it's a matter of keep your religion out of my politics, and I'll keep my politics out of your religion.
Oh, I agree.
And
I'm not a Sam Harris, Dawkins kind of atheist. Yeah. I appreciate where they're coming from. I don't think the militancy helps us. And frankly, I think the bullshit religious arguments, like I wish I could remember the name of the case, but Supreme Court recently heard a case where there's like this government-owned or military-owned plot of land out in the middle of fucking nowhere that had a giant cross on it, mm-hmm. and one of these bullshit atheist organizations sued the government to have it taken down because, on violation of church and state. Those are the kind of things that, as an atheist, piss me off.
Yeah.
That those organizations do. These petty, bullshitty. It's like the creche, the three wise men in the public square. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, right.
I don't give a fuck if, as an atheist, if you want to put the three wise men, come put it on my lawn. Yeah. I don't give a shit. Don't argue about that stuff if you're an atheist. Don't, and getting God taken off the money. It's just retarded.
Yeah.
The kind of little bullshit things that these militant atheists do. It gives us a bad name, and it makes it impossible for us to argue the real stuff, like the mosque, the community center,
yeah,
near Ground Zero. The little piddly bullshit arguments make it impossible for us to make legitimate claims,
right,
about separation. So right. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Get have your God, and I'm in a really weird, horrible position here, trying to raise an 8-year-old daughter in a 100% Christianist, red, super, super evangelical town,
yeah,
where last year in school she got made fun of for not believing in God, and she doesn't know.
Oh,
I don't,
boy.
I'm not trying to make her not believe in it. Yeah, I don't tell her anything. It's just she's never been exposed to it. So now she's going to Sunday school and she's enjoying it. And I bought her a Bible and we're doing prayers because, she's not in an age of reason, capital R.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do these things now until she becomes of age where she can figure it out? So I'm totally with you
right,
about the militancy. It's retarded.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're gonna hector religious people, it's got to be it really should be hectoring religious people who are constantly wanting to inject religion, yeah, into the school systems, into, yeah,
the Ten Commandments at the courthouse, that kind,
right,
of shit.
Exactly. I mean,
that's serious shit. I mean, the cross out in the middle of nowhere, I could give a rat's ass. But, the Ten Commandments on a big tablet in front of a public courthouse,
right,
where law is made. And these are the same people that are freaked out about Sharia. It's like, you don't get that you just spent the last 10, the last 10 years bitching about the Ten Commandments at the courthouse. And now you're going to spend the next 10 years terrified of the encroaching Sharia,
yeah,
when you just helped pave that path.
Exactly.
With your bullshit religion. That's why we keep them separate. Duh.
Exactly.
So if oops, a majority of Muslims, 2% right now, not going to force Sharia down my throat.
Yeah.
But if there was suddenly an influx and they had enough political power to do that, at least there wouldn't be the precedent of having Christianism in our public square.
Yeah.
Tards.
The whole argument has got to be the separation clause. That's where the centerpiece of it is. And I like Bill Maher, and I read P.Z. Myers, and I've read The God Delusion.
P.Z. Myers is great.
Yeah, and I've read The God Delusion, and I've seen all of it, and I get it, But the public square argument over religion has got to continue to be, get it out of my face.
Yeah.
Don't mix your religion with my secularism. Because this, yeah, is a secular country. It's not a religious country. We're built on
government. Don't say country.
Government. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it is still and will always be a very religious country. I mean,
right,
a plural religious, non-denominate. Everybody got their own religion, and that's how it should be.
Yeah.
But the government is entirely secular.
So I don't.
And our controlling documents are entirely secular.
Yeah. And so while this quiz was no big surprise, I mean, it really, I was just like, okay, yeah, I get it. But if it helps fuel the separation of church and state argument, great. I don't see it, but sure, fine.
I don't think it hurt it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it gives it, you know, and again, it's one of these arguing with idiots thing where it's a fact that will have absolutely no traction in the, it's not like there's a bunch of evangelicals now, you know, sitting back at their kitchen table going, oh my God, my whole worldview is turned upside down because of a fucking pew poll. It does nothing but make us feel a little bit more superior, and that really never helps. So,
yeah.
But it, you know, I don't think it hurt the public square argument.
Well, here's a changing topics briefly here. This freaked me out. This is what we really ought to be keeping an eye on. This, the creeping police state here is getting to the point of utter ridiculousness. Between, well, we heard the body scanners, which I'm very much opposed to. They have these body scanners, and they say, well, no, we're not going to save the images. And then we find out someone's been saving something like 20,000 images down in Florida at a courthouse.
Awesome.
Oh, great. So it's not as advertised. And then there was a story this week that I really wanted to post the whole thing. I mean, Digby is funny. Digby doesn't really give a shit. She'll just post like an entire article, just repost it. But I wanted to post this whole thing because it's such a compelling story. So I'm going to just flash through it here and tell me if this is not the most awful thing you've heard in terms of airport security and the police state just really stepping way, 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 way beyond the bounds.
Oh, this woman with the diet pills?
Kathy Parker, yeah. 43-year-old Elkton, Maryland woman who was flying out of Philadelphia International Airport on August 8th. That's my airport here. She said she was heading to Charlotte, North Carolina for work that Sunday night. She's a business support manager for a large bank and was selected for a more in-depth search as she passed through the metal detectors at Gate B around 5:15 p.m. A female Transportation Security Administration officer wanded her and patted her down, she says. Then she was walked over to where the other TSA officers were searching her bags. Quote, everything in my purse was out, including my wallet and my checkbook. I had two prescriptions in there. One was diet pills. This was embarrassing. A TSA officer said, hey, I've always been curious about these. Do they work? And at that point, you go, shut the fuck up and get out of my shit. So she says, I was so taken aback. I said, yeah, okay. They work. What happened next, she says, was more than embarrassing. It was infuriating. That same screener started emptying her wallet. He was taking out the receipts and looking at them, she said. I understand the TSA is tasked with strengthening national security, but it surely does not need to know what I purchased at Kohl's or Walmart, she wrote in her complaint, which she sent the reporter last week. She says she asked what he was looking for, and he replied, quote, razor blades. She wondered, yeah. Wouldn't that have shown up on the metal detector? In a side pocket, she had tucked a deposit slip and seven checks made out to her and her husband worth about $8,000. Her thought, quote, nice. Oh my God, this is none of his business. Yes, exactly, right? Two Philadelphia police officers joined at least four TSA officers who had gathered around her. After conferring with the TSA screeners, one of the Philadelphia officers told her he was there because her checks were numbered sequentially, which she says they were not. Quote, it's an indication you've embezzled these checks, she says the police officer told her. He also told her she appeared nervous. She hadn't before that moment, she says. She protested when the officer started to walk away with the checks. That's my money, she remembers saying. The officer's reply, it's not your money. The officer tells her that it's not her money. At this point, she told the officers that she had a good explanation for the checks, but questioned whether she had to tell them.
Quote, fuck, no, she doesn't.
Yeah.
She needs to sue the absolute fuck out of this airport and TSA
exactly.
Under the Fourth Amendment.
Exactly.
By, I mean, up their ass. She better get the ACLU or some fucking liberal lawyer to sue the government under the Fourth Amendment up their ass. This is absolutely outrageous.
It gets worse. So she explained that she and her husband had been on vacation and they'd accumulated some hefty checks and that she was headed to her bank's headquarters where she intended to deposit them. She gave police her husband's cell phone number. He was at her mother's with their children and missed their call. 30 minutes after the police became involved, they decided to let her collect her belongings and board her plane. Well, thank God for that she actually made her flight. Quote, I was shaking, she says. Quote, I was almost in tears. Well, of course. The capper to this, when she got home, Her husband of 20 years, John Parker, a self-employed plastics broker, said the police had called and told him that they'd suspected, quote, a divorce situation and that Kathy Parker was trying to empty their bank account.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
The terrorists have won. The terrorists, oh, absolutely. The terrorists have absolutely won.
The only thing that story is missing is a guy in a trench coat with a light in her face in, yeah, in a dank room going, "We have ways of making you talk." You know, that's unbelievable, yeah. Fourth Amendment lawsuit. Yeah. Up
Sue.
The ass.
Sue.
Make an example out of this. Yeah. Fuck the TSA. Fuck every airport I've been in since 9/11. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the most humiliating thing I've ever. That's just unbelievable.
It really is. And I hope that what comes of it will begin to deconstruct some of this awfulness, because it's gonna take so long to unravel all of the shit from the last 10 years.
Yeah. Maybe this might be a good start. Maybe, you know, it just takes one incident, you know, and one lawsuit and one precedent-making thing to get some of these things unwound.
And where one of the places they start is get rid of the body scanners. I mean, you want to talk? That is just such an utter violation of privacy. It is so unconstitutional. You mean to tell me? I mean, you and I know a lot about computers. You mean to tell me they can't take a screen cap? They can't, you know, hit control print screen?
Yeah.
And copy what's on the screen, and then suddenly there's like fetish sites popping up with people's body scanner. Oh my God. Anyway. Today's show, of course, brought to you by Bubble Genius at bubblegenius.com and on Etsy at bubblegenius.etsy.com. Bubble Genius brings you soap and body products like you've never seen before. They've got something for everyone, from guys to girls to kitties to expectant mothers and even your best friend, your doggie. They even have a few things for your home. Bubble Genius strives to be good to your skin while also being good to the planet. Most of their packaging is recyclable. Even the shrink wrap protecting your soap is recyclable. Or reusable, like their tins. Like if you buy their bucket of coal soap. It's really kind of a neat product because it comes in like a little actual tin bucket. They source their ingredients as close to home as possible, thereby supporting other local and domestic businesses while cutting down on fossil fuels and fossil fuel consumption by not having stuff shipped from across the globe. They do their best to use organic ingredients when they're accessible and affordable, and their soaps are free of chemical detergents and surfactants. My favorite science word. And please, I mean, I always make this plea every time we do a show, which is to make sure you support liberal, progressive, independent businesses. You want to fight corporate power? This is how you do it. Screw Walmart, screw Target, screw Kohl's. Buy your stuff. Buy your soap from Bubble Genius. Go on trips with Pomegranate Journeys. Buy your clothes from Dusty Dog Vintage. And there's nothing more that you can do, or nothing better that you could do in terms of making a statement about corporatism than actually circumventing all of it. It's pure products, pure genius. Bubble Genius.
Shove Bob and Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Indeed. Shove us in your pants.
I can't even get my mind around with this airport search. Yeah. What they think their charter is. To solve crimes? Are they Columbo now?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is their chart? What is their operating assumption here? That the search might turn something, might turn up evidence of some un-terrorism, you know, fly a plane into a building type crime? What the fuck?
It's gone well beyond. This had nothing to do with security. I mean, they're going through her receipts and checks. This turns into a police investigation. It has nothing to do with making sure she doesn't take out box cutters and stab people on the plane. It has nothing to do with that anymore. Once they got to the point where
it's law and order. It's these guys watching too much fucking CSI.
That's right. That's right.
And they're like, "Oh, look what I found, a receipt. Give me the forensic semen scanner and let me see if it's got any wank juice on it." Brr! Oh, you must have been killed the Lindbergh baby. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely, I mean, talk about the very definition of an unreasonable search.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, and this is just probably one of many, just a woman that had the balls to make a stink, you know, to make a public case out of it. Most people would be too humiliated to bring it up. How many times is this happening? Or they're minorities or people that feel like, you know, walking in there, they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
God only knows. Makes me sick.
Yep.
Just what chicken shit cowards we are. This is the result of our chicken shittery.
You know, and I'm hearing from a lot of otherwise very smart people who say, you know, what's the harm in the body scanners? What, you know?
My ass.
Oh, God. You know, it's body scanners today. You know, it's like you go back 10 years and you say, well, what's the harm in just taking your shoes off? We're just taking our shoes off. What's the big deal? We're taking our belts off now, too. Now they're going to stick us in the fucking Star Trek transporter and take a nudie picture of our bodies through our clothes. Great. What's going to happen there? What kind of magnetic field is produced there?
Yeah, exactly. It's only a matter of time before one of these things kills somebody with a pacemaker or something.
Right. Yeah. It's just suddenly someone just disintegrates like they've been hit by a Klingon disruptor and they just melt down. Like
meanwhile, the terrorists are so not worried about airplanes anymore. They've shot that load.
Yeah.
You know, they've done that, been there. Their next thing is, you know, it's a fucking one of these giant tanker carriers coming over from Indonesia packed full of fucking nuclear bomb parts. I mean, they've done their plane bit. I never bat an eye flying on an airplane. Yeah. Somebody wants to try one of those box cutter bullshits again, that person's in for the ass whooping of their life.
You're just gonna go all Tasmanian devil on them, right?
Well, I have a whole plan. I have this. I've had the same computer bag forever,
right?
And I will. If something happened when I get on the plane, I cinch the every time. I cinch the arm strap, the shoulder strap up really short, so that basically, if I put it around my neck, it looks like an umpire vest,
right?
Like that is protecting my shit, right? My heart and my lungs. I've got this massive computer bag, and usually with a huge book in the cover. So you're not shooting, you're not stabbing my ass. Mm-hmm. You might could put a bullet through it, but I will come at you with my umpire vest made out of my computer bag, and I will kick the living shit out of you if you pull anything like that. I will put your head through the bulkhead.
You're gonna come at them like a spider monkey.
I am not even kidding. I'm not. Every time I get on a plane, I'm ready to roll that way.
Right.
I am, and I think 80%, the rest of the plane feels that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to have a bomb. That's all you've got left, terrorists. A bomb that takes the entire plane out at once.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going out the service exit.
That's right. Here comes the Dingledorf, right?
I will cut a bitch, and I fly with my personal, my intern, Mr. Syllabus, the monkey, and he will bite your face like that woman. He will bite your face off, and he's got syphilis, so you don't want any of that.
Oh, and this, of course, reminds me. Oh, yeah, you know what? And you know what they're still doing at the airport? They're still doing the liquids where they're collecting your liquids at the security gate and then just taking them and chucking them into a plastic bin that's right there. You know, so say for example, you're an evildoer and you've got like a bottle of Mountain Dew and you're going to detonate it on the plane. Yeah. They're going to grab your bottle of Mountain Dew and chuck that liquid explosive into a bin that's right there in front of the sapien tubes where you walk through.
Yeah, it's real. It's smart, isn't it?
Oh God,
so Osama bin Laden's just got to be laughing his fucking.
Oh my God, yeah, and just they're smoking cigars and just going. I don't know if
just. Toasting each other, the decline of the American Empire.
Yeah,
we can't bring our fucking Mountain Dew on the plane. America, woohoo! Yeah. Fuck yeah!
Well, speaking
speaking
of stabbing, did you see the premiere of Dexter on Sunday?
No, it's again TiVo'd.
Oh my God!
Don't go there.
Oh my God!
I can't talk. I cannot speak of the Dexter. In fact, you're probably going to have to wait for the entire season to be over. So,
well, here's
suck it. Here's, if you do anything to spoil that shit, you better just zip it up.
No,
if you do anything to spoil my Dexter experience, I will kill you.
There's one small thing that won't spoil the plot at all. It was just one observation that I had, and I think I even posted it on Twitter and got lashed for it. But I mean, as we all know, at the end of last season, Dexter's wife was killed, right?
Bitchy McPinch face.
Bitchy McHissy. Hissy voice.
God, I hated her. Dexter.
Dexter, no more coffee, Dexter.
Oh, Dexter.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
So glad she was dead.
Dexter, you're drinking that cup of coffee and you promised me no more coffee.
So she
Think
was
about the children, Dexter.
So she was found dead at the end of last season, and so they picked up right there. And so at some point in Sunday's show, it was a great episode. You're going to love it. You're going to love it because Dexter is extra psychotic. I mean, just extra like, I'm a serial killer. Just like, yeah. Totally like, he's in that mode, you know, where yeah. Dexter gets in that
dark
sort of low.
Passenger mode.
Yeah, the dark passenger mode. And so he's got to tell his in-laws and his stepkids about what happened. And they come home.
Did they ever show her parents before?
I don't think so. Maybe at some point.
Is that who you're talking about with in-laws?
Yeah.
Parents? Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen them before.
And they come home from Disney World, and they plunk a Mickey Mouse ears hat on him with his monogram, with Dexter monogrammed on the front. So Dexter's sitting there with that dark passenger stare on his face, sitting on his couch in his apartment with the Mickey Mouse hat, and he's got to tell them that their mother is dead.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't awesome. Believe the incongruity of that. The Mickey Mouse hat with the, oh, by the way, your mother's gone.
Oh, that's a great little note, though. That's a great little grace note. That's perfect. That's awesome. Because that's totally how it happened, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be in such shock that you wouldn't even know you got these fucking mouse ears on. Because, yeah, he's eating a big shit sandwich with that. Because it was the, you know, it was John Lithgow. It was the Trinity killer that did her in. And that was all him. So, but oh, I'm so glad she's dead.
Right.
Oh, I hated that bitch.
Yeah.
Well, just make my Dexter experience so much better.
And when they run up, he says, this is the very beginning of the episode. When they run up and he's sitting on the lawn holding Harrison. And they ask what happened. And he said, I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that in the preview.
Yeah.
If I hadn't seen that in the preview, I would be flying to Pennsylvania.
You'd be pummeling me now.
I would be beating your ass.
Elsewhere on television, Mad Men was extraordinarily stressful but very satisfying to watch because, of course, you were not supposed to like Don Draper, but he practically melted down on the show. Because there was they're doing a deal with a military defense contractor, and they started the military started the DOD started doing a background check on all the.
Uh-oh.
All the employees of Sterling Cooper Draper Price, and including Don, who has this desertion background and this assumed name and everything. So he is just wigging out. In fact, Don Draper vomits.
Oh, my God.
In this episode. Wow. Very, very much worth watching. Get your TiVo shit together, Dingle.
Well, you know, the only thing I'm caught up on is Smallville. As soon as that comes on, I'm watching that.
Yeah.
Smallville. Dexter can wait and fucking everything else can wait, but Smallville, I am so ready for this douchebag to go full Superman now, and it's been 10 years,
10 years
and it's pissing me off. You know, he's going to be 80 years old by the time he suits up, and it's pissing me off. So he needs to get the red and the blue on and get his Superman on.
And you missed a great episode of Little People Big World this week.
I still don't believe that show exists. I think you're making that up.
The dwarfs that live on a pumpkin farm in Oregon.
No. That's ridiculous. There is no such thing.
And there was a big thing, a riveting story about the actual pumpkin season. They were selling their pumpkins. And they were making.
I don't believe you. I won't listen. I'm going to go get some coffee because I don't believe that this exists.
And I hate to say it, as glowing as I was about the pilot, Boardwalk Empire is starting to lose me.
Already?
Yeah.
Episode two.
It was just, it was scattered. There's something about, I want to say it's something about the way the narrative is constructed that is just, it's like,
that's disappointing.
Yeah. Like suddenly I'm like the Three Stooges sitting there on the couch. Just, me. And Boardwalk Empire is playing. And it has everything there. I mean, it's got all the pieces of things that I love about television and I love about filmmaking, but it's just, there's a zing that isn't there. I think has something to do with the script writing. I just think it's not congealing as, and you know, I mean, I've said this about a lot of shows initially, but you know, and maybe it'll really find its stride as it goes along. But I just think, it's going to kind of, there's going to be a little bit of a backlash here. I think we can start as the dazzle wears off of seeing it visually. I think I'm going to go, well, I don't know about the storytelling. Boardwalk Empire. So, but I'm going to keep checking it out. I just don't, I don't know now. I'm not so certain in the future of the Boardwalk Empire.
That's a shame.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. You've got to watch... Oh, I don't want to spoil it for you. This is another thing about Dexter that was just kind of a weird... No, it's not... You know what? It's not really a spoiler. Here's the thing. And I'll leave it at this. Quinn is basically the new Dokes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can see that coming. Yeah. Absolutely.
Quinn is the new Dokes. And I hope they do something different with it than what they did with the Dokes character, where the Dokes...
Yeah.
I mean, I love Dokes. I mean, I was so sad when they killed
him. I was too. I felt bad for him because he was an honest cop. You know, he was a good guy.
And he had this weird ESP about him. He just knew.
Yeah.
He knew there was something wacky about Dexter. And
the first episode, they laid that out there. Dexter's like, of all the cops, I work in this police station, and it's this guy knows that there's something wrong with me.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
But that other guy, he's crooked in some way, so Dexter's got an angle to get at him.
That's right. Well, we can kind of see where that's going. But, I do hope they do something different than with Dokes. You know what we missed? We didn't talk about today when we were talking about the Wingnuts. Rand Paul actually used the phrase welfare queens.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Good guy.
Came right out. Yeah, that's good stuff.
And not even disguising it anymore. Yeah. As Rachel Maddow says, they're not embarrassed. And they really are not. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. You fudge with us, you fudge with the best. We will be back next Thursday. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.